Om Shanti. Namaskar. Welcome all of you to this next session of Self-Realization. As we were going through about the basics or the fundamental things about what exactly the soul is, what exactly the energy that we talk about, and we were discussing a lot of things about the existence of the soul, about the identity of the soul, and how we can relate to it, because this is our own real identity. This is my original identity. So now, in the last session, we talked about a lot of things, like what exactly a soul is and how a soul looks like. Then we discussed that that soul looks like a point of light. It is a conscient being of light, an energy. We call it a jyoti, a star, a shining star that is shining in the middle of the forehead. Then we also talked about that a soul is having a lot of virtues in it. A soul is having 7 virtues. Some of those virtues are the knowledge, the purity, the peace, the love, the bliss, the happiness, and the powers. So these virtues, when they all coexist in the soul feels so complete in itself. But when these virtues are lacking behind and there is some or the other virtue is missing, then we are actually craving for those virtues. We want those virtues. And in order to fulfill those virtues, we actually depend on others. We start expecting those virtues from other people. When we feel there's no love in my life, because we always depend for love from others. And we want people to give us love because we don't have the virtue of love. Similarly for peace, we are always searching for peace. Where can I find peace? Then we just heard about that the peace can be found within. We can find peace in ourselves only. And now moving forward, we will be talking about a lot of things about soul's anatomy. Because when we talk about these virtues, we also want to know how the soul can actually fulfill itself with these virtues. So there is an inbuilt mechanism, there is an inbuilt system in the soul. We call that system the 3 faculties of the soul, the 3 sense organs of the soul. The way the body is having 5 sense organs, the body is having the eyes, the body is having the mouth, the body is having the ears, the nose, and the skin to feel and perceive things. Similarly, the soul is also having 3 devices, or you can say 3 faculties, 3 sukshma karmendriya, 3 sense organs, which are very subtle. So these are called the subtle sense organs of the soul. And these are the 3 faculties through which the soul manifests itself. So these faculties are mind, intellect, and impression. So impressions are called sanskaras. Intellect is the buddhi, and the mind is the man part. So mind, intellect, and impressions. These 3 things are the most important thing, and these are the 3 faculties through which soul express itself. When we talk about mind, let us see these 3 faculties in detail, and we will be talking a lot of things about that, how the mind works, how the intellect works, and how the sanskaras get, you know, inbuilt in the soul. Talking about mind, what exactly is mind? What do we know about mind? We nowadays are thinking a lot, because mind is the faculty of the soul which is doing the task of thinking. There are a lot of thoughts being generated, a lot of things happening inside us, and a lot of thinking is being done by the soul. So who's thinking? Why are we thinking? So it's the process of the mind. The soul itself becomes the mind and it starts thinking. And thinking is something you can't stop, because thinking is the property of the mind. We always talk about man and mind, that my mind is diverted, my mind is, you know, is quite vague, I can't concentrate. So there are a lot of complaints that we do. I can't stay here, I want to move on, I want to change this place, because my mind is not feeling good. So there are a lot of complaints that we hear about mind. So what exactly is mind? How the mind works? So there are a lot of questions that we ask ourselves. We all have become the slaves of our mind, because mind is the faculty which is driving us nowadays. We are thinking from mind, and mind takes us to several places. Mind makes us to meet several people. Mind makes us to do several things in our life. And it is the mind which is driving us. So have you seen your mind? Is mind a person or a thing or a place that you can exactly talk to, that you actually can possess? Your mind, what exactly is mind? So in order to get the answer to this question, we need to look within ourselves, because mind is also a subtle organ of the soul. It's so subtle, you can just feel it, you can't touch it, you can't experience the mind by touching it, you can't be with the mind by being it, by having it face to face. You can't, mind is not a person whom you can meet. Mind is the subtle organ of the soul. It's a subtle faculty of the soul. So mind is the thing that is involved in the thinking process. Similarly, we have intellect. So what is the purpose of intellect? Why do we have intellect? We always relate intellect with the brain. But in brain is different and intellect is different. Intellect is the software part, whereas the brain is the hardware part. Brain is the thing that possesses, that actually processes the instructions of the soul. So it is the hardware part that is doing all the rest of the things. But when intellect comes into picture, the soul decides something, takes decision on whatever the soul thinks through mind, and those decisions are made by intellect. So the soul itself acts as the mind and the intellect, and then whatever actions we perform, those actions are imprinted on the soul, and those actions, when repeated continuously, are called habits, and that's how we make our impressions, our sanskaras. So let us see all these faculties in detail. When we talk about mind, mind is the creator of thoughts. And there are a lot of sources through which the thoughts originate within the soul. We already have seen that the position of the soul in the body is the center of the forehead. And this center of the forehead, in the brain, there is a subtle position, a very small position where the soul resides. And the soul, which is the programmer, it is actually writing instructions. Those instructions are called thoughts. And when these thoughts are generated, the source of these thoughts are the sensory inputs. The inputs like our eyes, our mouth, our ears, our nose, and our skin. So these sensory inputs is one of the source to get the soul to think about what exactly I need or what I want to do. Next source is the belief system. We are grown with a lot of belief systems, a lot of perceptions that we have about myself, about the people, or about the world. So with all the belief systems that I have grown with, those belief systems become a very major source of the thoughts that I have in my mind. Then the next source is the past memories. A lot of past memories are there. A lot of things happen in our life. So past memories can be memories of the previous birth, which are actually stored in our subconscious mind, and the previous memories of this birth also. Those memories trigger new thoughts in our minds. And then the last but not the least, another source of thoughts, it's the creativity. We all are creative in one way or another aspect. We all are thinking to do something, to bring some change in the world. We all get some different thoughts. So some people are very innovative and they design new things in life. The world that we are seeing today, the lot of infrastructure being built, lot of things being made, it is result of the creativity of mind, because mind has put such big visions for the world to be. So mind is continuously generating thoughts based on these sources, and that's how we see a lot of creation, a lot of things being done through human beings. So based on these sources of the thoughts, they are the kind of thoughts that we generate can be divided into the positive thoughts, the negative thoughts, then the necessary thoughts and the waste thoughts. Now, what exactly are positive, negative, waste thoughts, necessary thoughts? I think we all are aware of what positive thoughts, negative, waste and necessary are. Positive thoughts are very powerful thoughts. These thoughts increase the energy of the soul. When we retain the energy of the soul, they increase the power of the soul. So that is why we always advise people to think positive. But it is such a big dilemma, because most of the people, they don't even know how to think positive. And what exactly are positive thoughts when there are a lot of negative things happening around, and when there are a lot of negative experiences happening with a person, then how that person can think positive? So positivity has to be triggered. Positive perspective has to be developed within a soul. Then only a person is able to think positive. We will be seeing that thing in our next sessions, that how we can actually channelize our thoughts, how we can change the process of our thoughts, how we can change our habits so that we think positive, we become optimistic about our life, and rather than being cynical about a lot of things that happen. Then the next thoughts are negative thoughts. These thoughts are very draining. It drains the energy of the soul. So nowadays, most of the people, majority of the people, if we see the quality of the thoughts of those people, it's towards negative. It's towards, you know, draining. That is why we see the atmosphere of the world changing. When there are a lot of people thinking about fear, having fearful thoughts, intimidating, and thinking that somehow we are going to die, or something is going to happen to me, what is going to happen next, what is my future. So there are a lot of things happening, and people start thinking that some mishap can happen to me or my family. So all these come in the category of negative thoughts. But these thoughts can be channelized. It is not something that is very difficult. It is not a rocket science. You can change your negative thinking towards positive thinking. And we will be discussing in Raj Yoga meditation how we can achieve positive thinking thoughts and positive attitude towards our life. Then we have waste thoughts. What are waste thoughts? When a soul dwells on thinking about the past things that happened and the future events, planning for the future events. Planning is very good. We should plan. We should have good visions. But when we are spending a lot of our time planning for different things, and those are the ideas which never get implemented, and we are not working on those ideas, it is just like we are, you know, releasing some balloons in the, we are releasing some thought clouds in the atmosphere. So those thoughts come in the category of waste thoughts, because we are wasting our time, we are wasting the soul's energy, we are depleting. So waste thoughts are also depleting our energy, and the ultimate result of the waste thoughts is to generate negative thoughts, because when these past thoughts, the thoughts of the past memories, the thoughts of the future planning, when these thoughts don't get a proper direction, when they doesn't come into, you know, action, those thoughts actually divert a person towards negative thinking, that I am useless, I am not able to do anything or achieve anything. Then the next category of thoughts are necessary thoughts. These are the important thoughts. For example, when you go to your office, there are a lot of things to be done in a whole day, and you always plan your activities. You always plan, a mother plans for what is good for his or her children. The parents plan what is good for his or her children. Then there are a lot of things children plan according to what studies they want to do, what they want to do with their future, and what they want to become, and what should be the goals that they should achieve. So all these thoughts come in the necessary thoughts category. These thoughts are neither positive nor negative, but these are necessary things that are to be done. So accordingly, the mind is working and the mind is creating these thoughts. Now let us come to intellect. What exactly is intellect and how the intellect is working? Intellect is the decision maker. The function of the intellect is to actually comprehend, is to actually understand. Now, when there are a lot of things happening in the life, a lot of education that we take, so intellect is the one that comprehends that education, the comprehends the messages that we are getting from the world, from the people, from the family, from our relations, from our colleagues. So whatever information that we are getting from the world, to understand, to comprehend that message, to comprehend that information, only the intellect is the one that comes into picture. Then the power to discern, the power to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, the power to make differences between things. So discernment is another property, another factor of intellect. It is done by intellect. Then the power to discriminate. Now next is to discriminate between things, and then power to decide that what is right and what is wrong for me, what action should I perform, in what direction I should go. So all those decisions are taken by intellect. So whatever actions we perform, the decision maker is basically the intellect behind all our actions. So the power of the intellect, if the intellect is a very powerful one, definitely the decisions, whatever actions we perform, the actions are going to be powerful. But if the intellect is not powerful, if the intellect is weak, then the action that we will be performing won't be having that power, won't be having that effect. So if you want your actions to be powerful, make your intellect powerful. Then the next task is to analyze. To analyze things, how the things work. So analyze is a very important part of intellect. To analyze different things in the world, how the things are moving around. Analyze things about myself, what is happening with me, what is happening inside me, what is happening with the people. To analyze things, that task is also done by intellect. To choose things, to choose different things when there are a lot of options available to you and what option is best for you. So that thing is done by intellect. Then to calculate, the calculation part, to measure things, all those things are all done by intellect. So intellect is a very important part of the soul. Mind and intellect, they both play different games in the soul. We call it as the mind game. Sometimes the mind wins, sometimes the intellect wins. But in a real game, intellect is the one who should always win, because mind is actually just a thought maker, but intellect is the one who decides what should be done with that thought. If a thought is negative and the intellect is weak, definitely the mind is going to overcome and it's going to win, and we are going to implement that negative thought in our life and the result is going to be negative. But if the intellect is powerful, definitely it will, it will just absorb that negative thought and forget it forever. It's not going to put that thought into action, and that's how the life is going to be beautiful. So between these both things, we always have to see what is right and what is wrong. Now let us see how the mind and intellect works. There's a very beautiful example in front of you. Let us see that what is happening with this horse rider and this horse. We see there is a horse in front of you. This horse rider is having this horse, and the property of this horse is, the beauty of this horse is, that this horse is so powerful that whenever a strike is made to this horse, the horse runs at the fastest speed it can. And with this property of the horse rider has to be powerful. But the mishap with the horse rider is that the drawback of the horse rider is that the horse rider is weak. Secondly, the horse rider doesn't know where it has to go. So there are two things that we have to take care. When we are seeing both of them, we see that the horse rider should know that where is my destination. And secondly, the horse rider should have the power to control the horse, because the horse is very powerful and very healthy. So the horse rider needs to be healthy, needs to be powerful, so that it can control the reins of the soul. It can take directions, it can actually take turns whenever it is required to reach to a perfect destination. Secondly, the knowledge of the destination is very much required. So we need what my destiny is, what my purpose of life is, why I am doing this. Now if we are going to give a task to this horse rider, definitely the horse rider won't go and reach to its to his destination on time, because there is no knowledge, and secondly there is no power in his body, and the horse is going to overrule at this time. And if a strike is going to be made on the horse is going to take the horse rider rather than the horse rider taking the horse. So these are the same things happening with us. The mind, as we all say, the mind is the most mischievous horse. It is kind of something which you can't control. Mind, you can't control your thinking. Thinking is something that you just need to channelize. You don't have to control it. You just have to channelize. You can't stop your thinking. It's a property of the mind. It's the beauty of the mind that you can, you know, reach distances. You can control. You can travel miles through your mind. You can actually reach wherever you want with your mind, because it is such a powerful instrument that you have. But you don't know how to use it. The only thing of this Raj Yuga meditation is that you recognize the power of your mind. With this power, you can actually go wherever you want. You can do a lot of things with your life. You can utilize this power and break lot of boundaries and achieve lot of things. But for that you need a powerful intellect also, and you need to know the purpose, that why you do this. And the purpose has to be a positive one, definitely. The purpose has to be not just self-oriented. It has to be for the common good of everyone. That's how the life is going to be more beautiful. That's how you are going to give something to the world and achieve something and be a successful person in your life. So this horse rider right now needs power and the knowledge of the destination. Similarly, our intellect also needs power and the knowledge of the purpose. The real gyan, the real spiritual knowledge, sometimes is missing inside us, and we need it so badly, and that is the one which is guiding us. So with that power and with that information, with that knowledge, we can control our mind. We can actually become a ruler of our mind, and we can take our mind wherever we want. Nowadays, the mind is taking us to several things. The mind is driving us. We have become slaves of our mind. But now we have to become the ruler of our mind. So this is a very simple process being told to you. Now let us know about impressions. When we talk about impressions, it is just like a recorder. So it is a recorder of actions. You must have seen a lot of recorders in your life. There were gramophones, and we used to play recorders on the gramophones. There were cassettes, there were CDs and DVDs. So all the things are recorded on those, recorders, on those cassettes and DVDs. So whatever is being recorded, whenever you play it, it's the same song being played every time. And if the song is not recorded perfectly, every time you play it, there is going to be a cacophony of music. The music is not going to be perfect. So in the same way, the soul is also just like a recorder. All the actions that we perform, it gets recorded on the soul. And based on those actions, we get our impressions, our sanskaras. So what are all sanskaras that we have? First is the sanskaras from the past birth, the impressions from the past birth. In our past births, we must have done lot of things. We don't know what we did. But there has been lot of things, lot of karma that we did in our past births. And there had been thoughts of anger, actions of anger, actions of greed, actions of ego. We don't know what actions we performed. But our present, in our present birth, we can actually recognize ourselves, that what exactly my nature is, what exactly my sanskaras are, based on those past birth sanskaras. Because now I haven't, if I haven't had those teachings or those upbringing in my life, no one taught me how to be angry, no one taught me that how to be egoistic, and still I am having those sanskaras, then definitely I must have acquired those sanskaras from my past birth. And similarly, there are positive sanskaras also. Some people are, you know, inhabited with some very particular qualities, like some children are there from just five, they're just 5 years old and they are playing beautiful piano. A child is just 2 years old and he can just, you know, memorize the whole countries and tell you the names of the whole countries in the world. So it is just like this, that child is actually, you know, remember those things in his past birth, and it is just repeating all those things in the present birth. So this, all the sanskaras got recorded in the soul, and that's how those children are, have taken birth with those qualities. Next thing is parental. Definitely we have got sanskaras from our parents, our mother and our father, our family relations. So when a lot of things being taught in our family, so sometimes we get good things from our family, sometimes we get bad things from our family. So whatever sanskaras we get from our parents, that leaves a lot of a very long lasting impression on the soul, because it's going to be forever. So we have to check what sanskaras we could give to our children, because they are going to be living with those sanskaras forever in their life. The next is the company. What the company, we always say sangh ka rang. Sangh ka ring means as the company you have, so is the color. So the thing is, when we have, what company we have, what friends we have a long lasting impression of the friends that we have, their thinking process, their actions, or our peer level when we see. Then next thing is, the present, our present thinking, how our present thinking is affected. We are nowadays perceiving lot of things happening in the world. We watch television day by day. We are having daily encounter with the mobile phone. A lot of information is being shared. So we get to know a lot of things in our life. So based on that, our actions are also, triggered by those things, by those events that are happening, what we are watching nowadays. So those are also triggering our sanskaras. Now next thing is the eternal sanskaras. So what are our eternal sanskaras? Eternal sanskaras are something that are not dependent on the births that we take. This is something, it's a mechanism, it is something that is inbuilt in the system, that is inbuilt in the soul. And these sanskaras are based on actually our virtues that a soul possess, like the virtues of the knowledge, purity, peace, love, bliss, happiness and power. So based on these virtues, the sanskaras that I have are all eternal sanskaras. Now, what are the attributes of impressions? These sanskaras, they express themselves in the form of memories, habits, instincts, speciality and nature. I feel my nature in a particular way. What exactly my nature? Most of the time we talk about our nature. Most of the time we talk about our speciality, what I am good at doing, and our habits. This is my habit, that is my habit, these are my hobbies. So based on these things, on my actions, there are a lot of things through which I actually express my sanskaras. So these are the attributes. Moving forward, let us tap our mind. Now mind tapping is a very important part in our life, and we have heard about three things. One is the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. Right now when we are listening to this session, we are all sitting with a conscious mind and we are getting things inside, we are putting new information inside. So now when the session is going to end, we are going to move into another conscious of mind. Whatever things we hear, we think about it and we actually draw a perception to it. If that thing is working for me, then you sort of take it inside and make that thing a part of our life, make that information a part of our life. So when that information becomes a part of my life, it comes into my subconscious mind and I'm regularly, you know, putting that thing forward and putting that thing in the front, and it becomes my behavior. Overall, my overall personality is actually a result of my subconscious mind, whatever I have stored in my subconscious mind. Then the next thing is unconscious mind. So whatever actions I performed in my past, in my present, and all the future things that I plan, consciously, unconsciously, all those things are stored in the unconscious mind. So whatever things are coming, it is going in the unconscious mind. Most of the time, we say that whatever conscious mind is actually coming, whatever things, the thoughts are coming in the conscious mind, it is actually coming from the unconscious mind. But the diversion is basically on the basis of the subconscious mind. So we can say our unconscious mind is a water which is stored in a tank. Subconscious mind is just like water coming from the pipeline, and pipeline has got a lot of filters in it. Pipeline can be diverted to different directions and it can affect the water that is coming through it. Then the conscious mind is water exactly coming from the tap. So these are the three things how we can actually divide our thinking. Now, how the subconscious mind works, let us see. It's a very beautiful example. Many of you must have learned how to drive. And when you were learning driving, there were a lot of mistakes that we do in the beginning because we don't have the, you know, driving practice. So what we do, when we were told that whenever you have to change the gear, you always have to, you know, press the clutch. You always have to press the clutch. So when there has been a lot of mistakes done in the present, in the beginning when we were learning, because whenever we try to change the gear, we forgot to press the clutch. There has been a lot of people who do the same mistake when they are learning few things in the very beginning, and that's what I did. So when I was learning driving, but now when I have learned driving, I know even if I am multitasking, I am talking to someone who is just sitting beside me, and now when I drive, I am even talking, I am thinking different things, I am talking on a different perspective, and now I don't need to direct my leg, or I don't need to direct my hand that you have to change the gear, and I don't have to direct my leg that you just go and press the clutch. It is automatically happening. But in the beginning when I was learning, I actually have to tell my leg that you have to press the clutch whenever my hand changes the gear. So now what is happening? Your subconscious mind, there is a code. In your subconscious mind, a code is being fixed. A code is being, you know, accessed every time that you have written when you actually learned how to drive. So that code is always, you know, comes in the conscious mind, and that code makes you drive the car so easily, even if you are doing two things simultaneously. You are talking to a person, you are thinking about something else. So that code is what being stored in the subconscious mind. And just similar to this example, there are a lot of codes that are stored in your subconscious mind. There are a lot of things being stored. There are a lot of activities, a lot of habits. The code is nothing but the habits. So a lot of habits being stored in the subconscious mind. And whenever whenever we face a situation, whenever we come in front of a person, we actually are accessing that code, that habit of ours, and we are responding according to that. But if that habit, if that code is not a perfect one, there was a time when I stored it inside my mind, so I have the ability to change that code also, to make a new code, to making an entire new thing to happen, an entire new habit to happen. So this is just a very beautiful thing. We can train our mind. We can write a new coding. We can make new habit every time. It's not that if I'm an angry person and I don't know how to be peaceful. Changing your habit of being angry is a very, very easy task. You just need to learn this coding, changing the coding of the subconscious mind. Forget about being angry. Forget about this habit of yours. Now, just try to think whatever happened, whoever comes in front of you, whatever situation you face, you will be peaceful. Just make this a habit of being peaceful. And that's what we are going to do in this course. Similarly, we see another example of conditioning of mind. You are seeing an elephant in front of you. You see, when an elephant is a small baby, the owner of the elephant, he ties the elephant, that small baby, with a very weak rope. It's not a strong one. Now, when the elephant has grown up, because the elephant in the when it was a child, when it was a baby, it was actually conditioned, the mind was conditioned of the baby, that I can't break this rope because I don't have the power to break this rope. Now, because always the elephant was thinking about it, that I don't have the power to actually break the rope and run away. Now, when the elephant has grown up, the elephant is very powerful, it has got a lot of strength, but still it can't find that power, that strength to break the rope and run away. Why? Because the mind of the elephant is conditioned. Now, the rope is not, a strong rope. The rope is the same rope, is the same small, weak rope. And if the elephant is told that you have got enough of power to, break this rope and you can just run away just like that, nothing will happen to you, the elephant will immediately run and it can break the rope. Similarly, now with this session, we are trying to tell you the mind is so powerful. There are a lot of things being put in our mind. Our mind is conditioned to work in a particular manner. We actually have to change this process of thinking, and that's how we can actually access the unlimited power of the mind. And mind can, break lot of barriers that we have. We have seen some people who commit suicide because their mind diverts them to do that, because their mind is not able to think in the right direction. It is lot of perceptions of the people that we actually focus on, and lot of perceptions about myself which are absolutely negative, that I'm not good for anything. That is driving that person to do negative things, to do a negative action towards his own self. Then there are people who are handicapped and they have actually climbed Mount Everest. How they were able to do that? Because they tapped the unlimited power of their mind. They believed in themselves that they can do whatever they want. Body is just merely an instrument. Body is going to work according to my instructions. Whatever directions I give to my body, the body is going to adapt to those changes. It is such an easy process. So everything can happen. Everything can happen if you just access the real power of your mind. Next habit, how we develop the bad habits. This is something which is very much, should not be told. A child sees his father drinking or smoking, and that's how a thought comes in the minds of the children, that what is going to happen if my parents are having that? I can also try to smoke one or to drink one. Let me just try it once. Nothing is going to happen. And when he just takes those things to, experiment on his body, he feels suffocated for the first time, or not very good for the first time. But then he tries it another time and he thinks that first time it's not going to work out, maybe for the second time. And then when he tries it for the second time, the child becomes, finds it easy to take. And then for the third time, for the fourth time, the thing is repeated, the habit is repeated, that action is repeated. And that's how the child acquires that habit of taking those things. And the ability of intellect to guide that child, the ability of the intellect to guide the mind that this is not good for you. There is no intellect because there is no direction coming from the parents. There is no person who is driving the intellect, who is giving the proper advice to the child that this is not right for you, because the parents themselves are taking those things, so they are not able to give the right direction to the children that what is right and what is wrong for you. And the information, whatever we are getting through the internet, by seeing our elderly, by seeing the people around, by seeing our colleagues, our peers, whatever information we are getting, whatever habits we see people are, you know, engaged in, we try to acquire those things. We feel all those things are right. So nowadays children are exposed to all those bad habits, and they are actually accessing that information and finding it useful for themselves. And that's how they are developing those bad habits in them. We can change those bad habits, but for that we have to take the responsibility that first of all we need to change ourselves, so that people, just to see an example of me making change in myself, and that's how people are going to learn that if this person can change, so I can also change. So be a change so that you can actually motivate others to change, inspire others to change. Now, how to be soul conscious? We see soul consciousness is a very beautiful thing. So whatever things you do, whatever things you perform, just be in the soul conscious state. When you cook, when you talk, when you work, or when you sleep, you should have this thing in your mind that I am a pure soul. I am a peaceful soul. I am the soul who is actually working through this body. I am the soul who is talking. I am the soul who is actually seeing through these eyes. I am the soul who is listening. I am the soul who is performing through these hands. I possess these hands. I possess these eyes. I possess the whole body. So this body is my property. This body is an instrument, and I am just using this instrument to do several things. I use this instrument to cook. I use this instrument. I use this mouth to talk. I use these hands for working. I am using the whole body, and when the body becomes exhausted, I'm actually taking this body to bed and give the body some sleep. So that's how the soul works. Now, moving forward, it is also necessary, the more we are becoming soul conscious, the more body consciousness removes from our mind. Now, what is the difference between body consciousness and soul consciousness? When a person is body consciousness, when we are continuously thinking about the body, we are actually into comparison. We compare ourselves with people. We are comparing things, what I have achieved, what the other person has achieved, what things are happening in the world, where I stand. So there are a lot of comparison on the basis of post, position, success. Success is also, you know, find a different means. So comparison comes into picture when body consciousness is there. But when soul consciousness state is there, we accept the people the way they are. We don't compare people. We stand out and we just represent ourselves the way we are. We are not going to compare that I am good or I am better or other person is not good. So there is a lot of acceptance. Then the other thing is division. Body consciousness creates division. What kind of division? There are a lot of division nowadays based on religion, based on caste, based on creed, based on color. So a lot of division in our society. So we have divided ourselves based on the body consciousness. How I look, how the other person look. What? So there are a lot of things. You all know what kind of division is there in the society. But soul consciousness unites us, because we all are point of lights. We all are souls. Soul has, there is no division in the soul. We all souls are unique. We all souls are same. We all are just point of lights in different bodies. We definitely have taken births in different grounds, in different with different backgrounds. But the reality is we all are unique souls. We all are different souls. Then the other perspective of body consciousness is slave of desires. We become slave of our desires. So our desires are actually driving us. There are a lot of ichha. So we are getting a lot of desires that we want to fulfill. But when we are soul conscious, we are master of our senses. We are master of our thinking. And then the last but not the least, the fear of death. The fear of death is always, you know, very intimidating. We fear that we are going to lose this body one day. We are going to lose myself one day. I am going to die one day. But the reality is the soul is immortal. The soul is eternal. It's not going to die. Only the body that we all have to leave. This is the reality of the world. It's an eternal truth that we all are immortal souls. The body that we have acquired, we one day have to leave the body. So the awareness of this eternity of the soul is such a unique concept that we are never going to die. No one has died actually. We all are unique souls. It's just the body that we leave. Its body is just like a costume. We are changing costumes very frequently. Every time we are changing costumes. And we have changed costumes in the past also. The soul has acquired this body because it left the body previously. And now we are in a new costume. And one day we are going to leave this costume also and take a new one. Now, the another thing comes that when we just said that soul is eternal, so we see the property of the soul, that soul is such a thing which can't be multiplied. You can't cut the soul through a sword. You can't blow away the soul from a hand dryer. The air can't blow away the soul. The air can't dry the soul. The water can't, you know, moist the soul. Then the fire can't burn the soul. The soul is immortal, unique being of light. It is immortal, eternal. It is imperishable. So nothing can actually happen to the soul. The soul just acquires the body, performs actions, and then leave the body. So that's how this is the journey, eternal journey of the soul. Soul is always on a journey. So nothing can happen to the soul. So now we all are souls. Now the main question, the another question that comes in our mind is, when we all are souls, where is that place from where we have come from? Because we see from 100 years back from now, there are not that much souls in the world. Now the population is increasing day by day. And there are lot many souls who have actually come into this earth. We are seeing lot of people. And if we are all unique souls and the souls can't multiply, then from where these souls are coming and from where we have come from? So we need answer to this question, and we will be getting the answer to this question in our next session. So be there, and I hope this must have been a very enlightening session for you. So now, when we are ending this session, we shall be meditating for 2 to 3 minutes. So let us concentrate for 2 to 3 minutes. So bring your mind, let us just concentrate on the center of your forehead and forget about all those things that are happening around you. And see yourself as a point of light. Watch yourself. Now ask certain questions. Who am I? What is my identity? From my childhood, I have been told that I am this body. I always saw myself in the mirror. Having different perceptions about myself. But now, I just got another encounter with my reality. I am not this body. I am a unique, imperishable, eternal, immortal being of light, a shining star, sitting in the center of the forehead. Such a bright energy, pure energy, peaceful energy. I am a powerful being of light. I am the one who's thinking. I am the master who's controlling everything. I am the master of this body, master of all the five sense organs. I am the one who's giving directions. I perform a lot of things through this body. I am the one who's deciding. All my decisions that I take are now going to be right, because now I know myself. I have got a right perspective. I have got a right perspective about myself. Now I am developing a right attitude towards myself and the world. And now whatever I'll do, it's going to get imprinted on me, and those sanskaras are going to be very good. These good sanskaras are going to take me into right direction. I am a happy soul, a blissful soul. My only aim is to fulfill myself with the virtues that I have lost. Now, as I have recognized myself, I'll be working to fill my battery and regain all my lost powers. Om Shanti. Om Shanti.